Let me add my welcome to that of Marcus's. My name is Callum. I'm the Associate Minister here. We're about to hear a short talk just on the story of Christmas, but first we're going to have another reading. It can be found on page 1031. It's Luke 1, 26 through to 38. And it'd be really helpful for you if you have a Bible on your seat there to open it up and follow along with me. So it can be found on page 1031. Luke chapter 1, 26 through to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with the Lord, with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Do keep that open in front of you. It'll be helpful for you as we go along. When do you think it's acceptable to start celebrating Christmas? Have you been playing Christmas music since October? Did the tree sneak up in the middle of November? Maybe it's post-Halloween, post-Thanksgiving. Everyone seems to have their own line in the sand, really, don't they, on when it's acceptable to start celebrating Christmas. You may be up to your eyes in deadlines. You may be struggling to get your desk clear before going some time off over Christmas. But whether we like it or not, whether we're consciously celebrating or just trying to keep our head above the water, we know that Christmas is coming. There's, of course, the one undeniable sign. Whether we like it or not, Christmas is coming, and it is coming at a relentless pace. That one sign that we all know, of course, is the John Lewis advert has come out. The John Lewis advert, everyone knows Christmas is happening and we can't stop it when that happens. This year, it was no exception, of course. It was an absolute banger and it was all about an unexpected guest at Christmas, wasn't it? An alien crash lands in the woods at Christmas time. The young lad befriends her, sneaks her mince pies, shows her the wonder of Christmas lights. She's the unexpected guest, experiencing her very first Christmas. And of course, it's inevitable, isn't it? They fall in love. They have a warm, fuzzy romance. It makes us feel nice inside, doesn't it? And it's probably proven to help us buy things as well. The Christmas story, it begins less with an unexpected guest and more of an unexpected gift. But just as dramatic as an alien ship crash landing on this earth, the unlikely hero of the very first Christmas is God himself taking on flesh, becoming human and coming to us. It's not so much an unplanned alien crash as it is an invasion of heaven on earth. We can read about it in the Bible. We just read a bit of a book called The Gospel According to Luke. Luke was a doctor who had set about getting a really accurate account of what actually happened when Jesus came. There are three unlikely facts about the Christmas story that makes Jesus the unexpected gift of Christmas, and I'd like us to just take a quick look at them. It's a pretty wild story, isn't it? It begins with this incident that we just read about, an angel visiting a young woman called Mary and telling her she's going to give birth. You look at chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. It's our first unlikely fact of Christmas, is that Jesus' birth was announced in Nazareth. You see, Galilee was not known for its glamour. Gabriel didn't go there because it was a hub of success, a land of opportunity, or particularly special at all. He went there because God sent him. God could have chosen Jerusalem, the capital city at the time, for Jesus to be born into. He could have chosen a long line of Roman emperors, and he could have been the very best of the best. He could have been a great warrior, an irresistible leader. But he came as a baby, born to a family from Nazareth. He became a citizen of a nowhere town to give us citizenship of his kingdom. It's the first unlikely fact that makes Jesus an unexpected gift, is that Gabriel goes to Galilee. The second fact, then, that makes Jesus an unlikely hero and an unexpected gift is that he's born a baby. The angel Gabriel is a messenger of God's. I don't know if you were an angel in a nativity show at your primary school, maybe, or maybe you've got children at the moment who are hard at work practicing their lines. I was usually a donkey or like angel number 5. But this is a big part, isn't it? Angel Gabriel, a messenger from God. The angel Gabriel goes to a young woman called Mary. She is betrothed to marry a chap called Joseph. There's detail in verse 27 there on the page that Mary is a virgin. She isn't married. Verse 28, Gabriel has a message. Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. And Mary isn't super convinced that this is going to be good news, is it? You can imagine it, can't you? You're going about your business, you're planning a wedding, a pretty stressful thing to be doing, and an angel turns up. You're going to be pretty terrified. This isn't an angel like a cute little cartoon cherub. This isn't an angel like a primary school child with a tinfoil halo. This is a supernatural angel. Verse 29 says that Mary was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. This is going to be a bigger interruption to Mary's life than any 5 p.m. daily updates. This is an interruption from heaven. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, though, Mary, for you have found favor with God," which I imagine would have been slightly reassuring before he goes and drops this absolute bombshell. "Don't worry, Mary, you've got nothing to worry about. It's all going to be okay. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." Jesus, God's own son, to be born a baby. God himself taking on flesh. It would have been an incredible step down, wouldn't it, if Jesus had come and ruled as an emperor or a king. Simply taking on flesh as human likeness is an absolute humbling. But to come as a baby, to a poor family, and not only that, as he grew, he lived a perfect life. And yet, Jesus was completely despised. He suffered immensely. A torturous and humiliating death, a death on a Roman cross, a death reserved for the very worst. It was considered the most painful way to die. And he did so for our sake. Now, you may be sitting here and thinking, well, hang on a minute, Callum, this isn't very Christmassy. You're jumping ahead to the Easter talk here. It's not very lighthearted to talk about a crucifixion. It's definitely straying a long way from the warm and fuzzy of John Lewis. But that's exactly what makes Jesus a gift for us, is that he gave his life for us. To keep Jesus as a baby and to never talk about his life and death, it would almost be the equivalent of looking under the Christmas tree on Christmas morning and saying, thanks for that wrapping paper, and getting on with the rest of your day. To think about just how monumentous Jesus being born as a baby would be, maybe think of it like this. Recently, we've had trouble with a slug in our kitchen. It's not something that I ever thought would be an issue in my life, but for some reason, we kept on waking up to a trail in our kitchen sink. It's super annoying, super gross, and super weird. We basically tried everything in order to get rid of this slug, and it might be the most resilient of all the wretched slugs out there. It's baffling. Outside, we have this whole world of vegetation, undergrowth, things that a slug might consider an absolute feast. And instead, it seemed really happy to spend its nights searching our drain for dregs of dishwater. Now, imagine if the only way to get rid of this slug was for me to somehow become a slug myself, to take on slugness, be born a slug, and lead them to a life of abundance outdoors. No longer would they feast on the dregs of dishwater, but they could have the abundant world outside. My point is that this is something similar to God taking on flesh. Being born to a poor family from Galilee, he comes and says, I'm the way to salvation, eternal life, and he leads us from our dregs of dishwater into full lives. The Bible compares seeking life, satisfaction, fulfillment, purpose, anywhere outside of God, as drinking from an empty well. It will always leave you thirsty. That's the Bible's word for sin. The act of looking at God's good creation, his design for this world and our lives, and choosing instead to live our own way, to not worship him, to not love him and instead scorn him, to decide for the dregs of dishwater instead of the beautiful richness of life that he offers. It's all part of what makes Jesus an unexpected gift at Christmas. But you can understand Mary's reaction to all of this. A third unlikely fact that makes Jesus the unexpected gift at Christmas is that Jesus was born of a virgin. The angel had said these things to her. Behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. The angel goes on with, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. I kind of imagine after the first sentence, though, Mary kind of just a ringing in her ears. You can understand her reaction. She turns around and says, you know, wait, back up a second. How will this be, since I'm a virgin? It's a great question, and the angel answers her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And then almost as if saying, well, if you don't believe me, the angel goes on, behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month of her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And the angel Gabriel's kind of saying, if you don't believe me that this is going to happen, your cousin, the one who everyone thought couldn't have children, everyone knew that she wasn't having any kids. Guess what? God has done the impossible with her, and he will do the same with you. The significance of this is that though Jesus is born totally and fully human, he stands outside of humanity, in that he doesn't fit in with our ancestry, with our sinful pattern. The Bible claims that we're each sinful because we follow in the footsteps of our ancestors, in that we rebel against God and we sin. And so our human nature is one that is like them. But this means that Jesus was uniquely qualified, therefore, to be our Saviour, because he stood outside of that pattern. Now, you might be thinking, well, it's well and good. I don't think I particularly need a Saviour, and I'm not quite sure how Jesus being a gift is really going to tick this box for sin. But it is exactly what makes Jesus such an incredible gift, is that he meets a need as well. There are two types of gift givers, really, aren't there? There are the people who they give generously, thoughtfully, abundantly, and they give you gifts that you didn't even know that you wanted, and now you can't live without them. I don't know how they do it, but they're amazing people, and they really know what they're doing when it comes to giving gifts. There are the other people, though, who give gifts to meet a need. They hear you complain that your tea towels are getting a bit old sometime in June, and for Christmas, they get you tea towels. They meet that need. They're quite easy to buy for as well, aren't they? They ask you for a new mop because, well, then they don't have to go out and buy a new mop, and they'll be really happy with that mop. God, in sending his son Jesus to live a sinless life and die as a sacrifice for us, is showing us that he's both kinds of gift giver. The overwhelming, generous giver whose gift is simply life-changing and who we can't live without. And he also shows us that this gift, the unexpected gift at Christmas, is the gift that meets a need that we didn't even really know we had. Have you ever opened a gift and you've been a little bit confused as to what it was? What is it? How does it work? But then you hear its name, and you realize, oh, that makes perfect sense. That gift is going to be great. Well, God's gift to us at the first Christmas was Jesus. His name means rescuer. If you've ever thought, said, or done something that isn't right, we can come to this unexpected gift, a rescuer, and receive true and full life and forgiveness. The John Lewis Christmas advert ends this year with the line, "For a Christmas as magical as your first." My encouragement and hope this Christmas is that in looking at the first Christmas, we will see that what we celebrate is so much more than mince pies, lights, and coziness. For you to have a Christmas as magical as the very first, well, it means believing in Jesus. Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. For a truly magical Christmas, a magical Christmas as magical as the very first one, believe in Jesus who was born to a family from Nazareth in Galilee. The Bible says that though he was rich, for our sake he became poor. So if this Christmas you feel poor, that you don't belong anywhere, you feel simply as if you've had too tough a year to put on a smiling face for the whole of Christmas, take your eyes and lift them to the Lord who forsook the riches of heaven, became a pilgrim and exile on this earth so that we could become citizens of heaven, blessed with the total forgiveness of sin, a wealth unimaginable. He became a citizen of a nowhere town to make us citizens of heaven. For a Christmas as magical as the very first, believe in the Jesus who was born a baby. He was born a baby and he died a man. He died in our place that our every sin could be forgiven, that we could have eternal life and could live forever. For a Christmas as magical as the very first, believe in the Jesus who was born of a virgin. Jesus became the Son of humanity so that we could become children of God. Believing in Christ and his cross, not only do we receive eternal life, but a heavenly adoption. So if you aren't sure where you fit in this week, this Christmas, come to a Saviour whose birth means that we become sons and daughters of the living God, members of the family of God. Let me encourage you, no matter how you're feeling this Christmas, to consider these things, the unexpected gift at Christmas. In the new year, we'll be running a course that will look more at the hope that Jesus gives us and how that in itself is a great gift. We'd love to chat to you more about that after the service. So do let your intention known if you'd want to talk about these things more. Ask more questions.